We are glad to make all of our JCast Network podcasts free for our listeners. However, they are not free to produce and host. Please consider making a donation to JCast Network to help support our work by visiting jcastnetwork.org/donate. Thanks for your support.
The Jewish Hour can now be heard on jcastnetwork.org, your portal to Jewish broadcasting. It's also on iTunes and on your smartphone using the Stitcher app. Welcome to the Jewish Hour. I'm your host, Herschel Finn, and we are at the Hazon, second annual Michigan Food Festival, down at Eastern Market, Shed 5 and 6. We're in Shed 5, booth number 37. Come by and visit us. Drop by. We got things going on. We have hands-on display. We're featuring eggs. Believe it or not, yes. Because of Hazon, we are using only humanitarianly raised eggs in all products at Jewish Ferndale, and we're going to be doing egg demonstrations. Come by that throughout the day. It's till 4 o'clock. There's all kinds of entertainment. There's three bands. There's a half a dozen lectures. Joan Nathan is here. Everybody knows about her. And also the women from the Gefilteria is going to be doing gefilte fish. I can't go because I'm stuck at the booth over here. There's a plethora of kosher food to eat. Watch out. There is some that's not. And just have a good old time. It's all free. It's open to the public. And be part of the throng and massive humanity. Come down here. We'll talk about it more during the show. In this half hour of the show, we will be featuring an interview with Jonathan Z. Weinstein, who is the writer and producer of a new film that just came out called Menashe, a film which is done totally in Yiddish. The portion of the week is the portion of Ki Tetze. And we have a wonderful story at the end. Music all over the place. All new music this week. Just the stuff just came right into my desk this week. It doesn't get any newer. Fresh. Before we do anything else, let's go right to the news. A U.S. delegation led by Jared Kushner was in Israel this past week. The group met with Prime Ministers Netanyahu and Abbas. Lots of photo ops, little accomplished. That's the peace process. There were 222 terrorist attacks against Israelis in July, the highest number in any month since December of 2015. Five Israelis were killed and seven wounded. In the latest incident, an Arab driver struck and killed a 16-year-old boy in Jerusalem. The driver fled, but was later arrested by police and charged with murder. In more local news, a bomb threat was called into the Jewish Family Services of Washtenaw County in Ann Arbor, Michigan. More than 100 clients and staff were in the office when the threat was called in. Police found no explosives there. In related news, swastikas and anti-Semitic slurs were discovered in a skate park in Ann Arbor. Ann Arbor police are investigating the incident. They asked the public to report any suspicious activity. The police increased patrols in and around city parks in response. In other news, a federal judge in Idaho ruled that the state's Department of Corrections must provide kosher meals for prisoners in all Idaho prisons. The decision is a result of a lawsuit against the state by two of the four Jewish prisoners incarcerated in Idaho, and now all four Jews will be able to eat kosher. And finally, some good news, it's not all bad. I guess eating kosher is good, but you're in prison. An Arab bus driver in Israel turned in $10,000 in cash that turned out to be belonging to an Orthodox Jewish passenger, the driver received commendation and no monetary reciprocity, but he got a thank you. And that's the news.
Some of the best jobs in the world are in the radio and television industry, and you too can join the workforce in as little as 8 months when you complete your hands-on training at the Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts located in Southfield, Michigan. At Specs Howard School, students get to play and learn at the same time. Imagine spending your class time behind the microphone, spinning music and hosting your own radio show, or designing and lighting a set for your own TV program, running a camera, learning to edit, directing a program. When you go to Specs, your day will be anything but dull. And if school is this fun, imagine how exciting it is to work in the growing industry. In addition, the credits you earn while attending Specs Howard School are currently accepted at 14 area colleges and universities. If you've always wanted the best job in the world, call for a tour of Specs Howard School at 248-358-9000. That's 248-358-9000. Or visit them on the web at specshoward.edu. Specs Howard School of Broadcast Arts. This is where you start.
Herschel Finman here. You're listening to the Jewish Hour. Let's do some music. This is Eitan Freilich. The song is called Tov Lahodos. It's good to give thanks.
Hey, now, let's do my speaking. Let's Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. We have online Mr. Joshua Z. Weinstein, who is the director.
Hello.
Hello, are you there? Yeah, so...
yes, are you there?
I'm going to introduce you just a second. So, Mr. Weinstein is the director and writer of a film that just was released. It's playing around in Detroit, called Menashe. It's about following the life of a Hasidic person. The basic rado is that his wife passed away, and the community has taken charge of his 7-year-old son, who he definitely wants to have a relationship with. How are you, Joshua? How are you?
Oh, I'm doing good.
Good to hear.
Can you hear me okay?
I can hear you okay. I hope you're not on speaker, because that would make things tough. But just talk directly into the phone and we'll be okay. Okay, so here it is.
I'm on.
Pardon?
I'm not on speaker.
Okay, that's fine. Good. Okay.
You're breaking up a little.
Okay. I'm on the landline. So anyway, so the let's talk about the premise. First of all, the backstory behind it. Movie in Yiddish. I don't know if there's been a movie totally made in Yiddish since Warsaw, Poland in 1939. I mean, I happen to speak fluent Yiddish, and I found it very charming that I could listen to a foreign film, but there's not a whole lot of Yiddish speakers in the world, really, Joshua. Why do the movie in Yiddish?
Yeah, it was a challenge. why do it the easy way when you do things the hard way?
Right.
You know, of the hundreds of thousands of Yiddish-speaking Hasidic Jews in Brooklyn, only a handful showed up for auditions. So this great dozen of people, I just had to work like a high school play to make the performances in the movie. And you know what? They all shine, you know, in special way.
You know what? I'm not hearing you very good. We're going to go to commercial, and and if I could ask you if you could call back. Can you call back? Joshua?
Yeah, no problem.
You have the number. Yes.
Yeah,
call me
right.
I'm going to take a commercial. I'm going to go to commercial. I'm going to hang up on you. Call me back, and we're going to try and get this better.
All right.
Okay? Thanks. We're going to take a quick commercial break, and hopefully won't be experiencing any more technical difficulties. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Want assurance of quality and excellence in kosher? Look for the Michigan K on the label. What's it look like? The Lower Peninsula of Michigan with a K. It's the symbol of the Michigan Kosher Supervisors. Go to their website, mikosup.com. That's M-I for Michigan, K-O for kosher, and S-U-P for supervisors, mikosup.com, and find this month's featured products. You'll find Michigan K products wherever fine food is sold, especially at Natural Food Patch on West 9 Mile Road in Ferndale.
Herschel Finman here. We're still trying to wait for Joshua Z. Weinstein to call back in. But in the meantime, we're here down at the second annual Michigan Jewish Food Festival. We're at booth number 37, right in the middle of Shed 5 at Eastern Market. There is a lot of people already pulling in. It's only 11:30 already. That's it, you know. So, but the place is filling up. There's food all over the place. It's a food festival, of course. You have the various food trucks and food vendors, and then there's people doing all kinds of things and promoting and hawking their things. We're here. We're promoting and hawking Jewish Ferndale and all the wonderful things that we're doing. And we're also helping out Hazon, who's helping out us, because due to a grant from Hazon, Jewish Ferndale now only serves pasture-raised eggs. Now, I always went to the store, and I always look, you know, wow, those things cost more. But believe me, a pasture-raised egg is a better egg, aside from the fact that the reason why we're doing it is to encourage humanity and humanitarianism in raising chickens, and that they should be treated well, and therefore, but I think maybe it's got something to do with it. When they are treated well, they actually produce better eggs. These are, I can't eat a 99-cent dozen egg anymore. It's like, no, to me, it's like ersatz. It's a fake egg at this point. So we're going to do some at 2 o'clock. We're going to be doing a point of comparison between 99-cent eggs and pasture-raised. And we have a couple of eggs each that were actually produced in Detroit. So come on by Stall 37. Say hello. We have a raffle going on over here for a some Ferndale merchants have donated various foodstuffs, kosher foodstuff to us. Thanks to Chazano. Thanks to Natural Food Patch. Thanks to Western Market. We put together this wonderful display of kosher food, which we are raffling off at 3:30. Come down, sign up, put your name in it. And also, there's another raffle. There's three raffles, actually. Chazano gave us a gift box. So that's one separate raffle. The food is another raffle. And we have this beautiful pair of silver, I have to say silver plate, but they're really gorgeous candlesticks, which will adorn anybody's Shabbos table, and you'll be very happy to own them. My daughter said, whoa, those are so cool. And so come on down, 37. We have Joshua Weinstein back online. Let's see. Are you there, Joshua?
Buenos dias.
Much better. Okay. Fine. Shalom Aleichem, as you would say in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
So now.
Shalom. Mashlamech.
Baruch Hashem. So now, so you've got this Yiddish movie, which is depicting a community that doesn't go to movies, so they're not going to be going to see it. And it's
that's the funny part, is they're going now. This is the first time we're finding out since Shoah then that Hasidic Jews and Haredi people are going to the theater in New York City and the area around.
Wow. Are they sneaking in? Are they being dressed up like non-Hasidim? Or are they going in with the regalia? That's neither.
This is amazing. So the first Sunday when I was playing in New York City, it was a packed house of chassids, and they left the theater, and they started doing Maariv service, you know, in the lobby of the theater. And the lobby flipped out. They were like, you have to leave. And you know what? They're in the middle of prayer. So they were not moving, and they just went louder, and they were disrupting all the other theaters nearby. But those are the type of people coming out, and it's fantastic.
Okay, that's cool. Okay, so now let's talk about the impetus. This movie, it's not a documentary, it's not a mockumentary, it's not a movie, it's a movie. Okay.
What do you mean it's not a movie?
Well, there's a difference between a movie and a film. I don't know if you know that difference. I mean, you know, so you have filmmakers.
Oh, not really. ouch, burn right here.
Okay, so it is definitely a film. It's not. My wife actually referred to the movie as claustrophobic. To say it's not a feel good movie. It doesn't. People aren't going to walk out and saying, "Wow, yippee!" It's not that. So, but you're trying to purvey this idea and angst and sense of wanting and I can understand the storyline behind it and the way in which it was portrayed is phenomenal. But why the Hasidic Jewish community for this? There's lots of angst out there.
Yeah, you know, I, as a native New Yorker, I just always love walking the streets and getting off on different subway lines. And, you know, one area you're in a Ghanaian neighborhood in the Bronx or Sri Lankan neighborhood in Queens. But Borough Park and the Hasidic Jews there, it's always been so closed off and so much felt like a world I could never understand. And then I went there for Lag BaOmer a few years ago, and I saw this huge bonfire moment of thousands and thousands of people singing and dancing. And it was just big spiritual moments that I knew I had to base a film around. So I just knew then that it was worth like a deep dive and to explore this world and to show it in a way that we just never see in cinema.
Okay, now I have a question that baffled me. Okay, you're the director of the movie, which means one of the things a director does, if he doesn't like the way an actor says a line, he says, no, don't say it like this, say it like this. You couldn't understand. You don't speak Yiddish. How could you direct a movie and tell actors how to act if you didn't know what they were saying? Especially since, as I saw in the writing, it was 75% scripted and 25% ad-lib. Maybe the guy was saying the wrong thing?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. It was maddening, and that's why the one English scene in the film was so relaxing and fun to do. But we basically rehearsed every scene in English. So all the actors rehearsed and blocked the scenes and understood their movements in English. And then because they're non-actors, you know, it's very hard for them to repeat the same exact moment twice in a row. We flipped Yiddish right when we started filming. And then it was kind of like the United Nations where we had somebody in the back room live translating to us. So we knew as they were speaking exactly what was being said. And I knew enough Yiddish just to get by because we were all rehearsed by it. So, you know, and we broke the scenes up into small chunks. So it was just like, you know, only 30 seconds at a time we were filming of a scene. So I knew enough of the Yiddish per scene per moment just to get by.
You must have been exhausted at the end of the day.
Oh, yeah. This was, because literally it was like a Talmudic debate on set because the whole film was rested on the translators. And when an actor did not like the lines, they were complaining to the translators, like, this is not how I would say it. Because, you know, if your family's from Ukraine, if your family's from Poland, your family's from Russia, you all have different Yiddish words you're using, right? Mm-hmm. So everyone's complaining that this Yiddish is not the Yiddish that I speak. And it was just so
I actually noticed that also. There were times and lines that a person would say something and I'd say, oh, come on, there's a better Yiddish word for that than that.
Exactly. Oh, you feel it too. Yeah.
Yes.
So this is just, it's mind-numbing. But again, it was worth the effort because you couldn't get performances and these actors to do it any other way. Like, it had to be done this way.
Okay, speaking of actors, these people were not professional actors. The person, the title role, Menashe, is a person named Menashe, and the film is loosely based on, yes, he's a person who works in a grocery store in New York. His wife did die. He is 30-something. He does have a 70-year-old child with whom he's trying to establish a relationship because the rabbi said it would really be a bit better if your kid was living with their cousins than with his cousins, rather, than in your one-room apartment. So tell us about, how did you find Menashe? How did you come across this story?
Yeah, basically, I approached this film like it was a nonfiction article in the sense that I just went out into Borough Park and other Hasidic neighborhoods in upstate New York and just hung out with people, took notes, just wanted to see what the world was like. And you couldn't just make a documentary. You couldn't show up with a camera. You just had to observe because cameras are so frowned upon. And early on in this process, I reached out to a guy named Danny Finkelman, and he makes Hasidic music videos, like a Lipa Schmelzer. Have you seen Lipa Schmelzer videos before?
Sure. We've played him on the show. Yes.
Oh, you have Leap on the show. Great. So like, I recommend everyone to watch Leap's videos. They're hysterical and they're fun and they're like Lady Gaga, but except women dancing, it's all men dancing. But besides that, you get everything you need in the videos. But in these videos, I saw real Hasids dancing, acting, having fun. And Danny became a big collaborator on this movie. And I was on set one day doing a Leap video with Danny, and Menashe was on set with him. And I met Menashe that day because Menashe's Lipa's brother-in-law.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So,
but he's not the brother-in-law depicted in the movie.
No, the film, that's fictionalized. Like, the whole, actually, originally we wrote to be Menashe versus the father-in-law character. But then the father-in-law actor that we cast quit a week before we started shooting. So we lost the father-in-law. So, like, we had to constantly change things. Or also the whole idea of this memorial meal that never happened in his life. Like, this film is just, it's the emotional truth that he experienced, but everything else is fictionalized. So this is my goal, just to capture these emotions.
Okay, so you met Menashe at watching a Lipa Schmelzer video being filmed, and you got to talking
exactly.
to him, and he told you his story. This is where I'm up to.
No, it was just I saw Menashe because he was playing in this video. Lipa was playing a rabbi, and Menashe was playing his assistant. And I just loved this physical comedian that Menashe was, but there's a sense of brokenness about him. I love actors who just, you feel their emotions, even when they're playing comedy, you feel their pain right on their face. And I told Menashe, look, I think you're a fantastic actor. Let's talk more. And Menashe was very skeptical because he lives in Skver. Skver is one of the most, you know, closed Hasidic communities. You know, them in Stockmar.
Someone once told me that if you are a Skver Hasid and you're married to someone who's not a Skver Hasid, you cannot live in Skver. You have to live someplace else.
It's true. That's true. Yes. 100% true. Yeah.
Go ahead. So he actually lives in Skver. So these people live under magnifying glass, microscopes.
Well, not only that, though, there's one road into his town and one road out. And literally, it's very homogenous. It's incredible. I love hanging out there with him. And it literally doesn't feel too different than I can imagine my family when they lived outside Warsaw. It hasn't changed that much, you know, mm-hmm. in 100 years. But he lives there, you know, and he loves his community. He loves his rabbi. And he just said, how am I able to bridge these both worlds? Because I want to act, but I want to figure out if I can do this and still live where I want to live. Because Lipa, for example, was pushed out of Skver. He wasn't allowed to live there. He was considered too controversial. So it took a lot of understanding and to create something for Menashe that he felt comfortable in agreeing to do.
Okay, this is a very parochial question. Did Menashe go to, say, the Skver Rebbe and get his advice and blessing?
You don't go to the rabbi and ask a question you don't want the answer to.
Uh-huh. Got it.
Okay. That's just how it goes. Like if you have to listen if you ask the rabbi.
Okay,
that's
understood. Understood. Okay, so now, the whole development of this story is generally, okay, I can understand, if it was a documentary and you were, say, National Geographic, and you're filming, say, the relationship between the lion and the gazelle on the Ain Gedi. So there's you're just standing there and you're shooting whatever happens, it happens. But you're a filmmaker and you have an idea of what you want to accomplish. At the end, when people are walking out of the movie, what is it that you had in mind, Josh Weinstein, that people should walk away with after they saw this film, Menashe?
Yeah. And, you know, I feel also that this conversation is so in the weeds. I want to make sure your audience knows this is a universal film about a father and a son, and that it really takes references from, like, classic cinema, from Italian neorealism to, like, the new Hollywood of the 70s. So it's very much a film made as a film that viewers are going to, even though the language might not be their mother's tongue, they'll still understand it as a film like anything else they'll see.
Oh, yeah, I would recommend anybody see it, yes.
But my goal with making this movie was, I know I always like characters wrestling with really difficult questions like we all have, and you know, it's a film about trying to, you know, he's a widower and he has that grief, and it's about him trying to understand where he is in his life with all that grief and guilt that he has from the loss of his wife.
Okay, understood. And the aftermath thereof. The way in which it's purveyed, I can see different people approaching the takeaway from two different ways. There is a genre of YouTube videos out there which are made by Hasidic expats, you might say, people who have decided that they don't want to be involved with the Hasidic community, and they've done videos that show what their angst is and why it is that they left that community. And it could be deterrent. You could say, they could look at Menashe and say, well, that's why I left. Look what he's going through. But I don't think that was your intention, was it, Joshua Weinstein?
No. And the thing is that many ex-Hasids have come to see in this film, and they love it. The best part about this movie is that, like, the most conservative people who've never watched movies love this movie, and people who hate the culture love the movie, too. So it's just because people understand that it's authentic, that it's honest, and that's an accurate interpretation. And it's fun. You know, we show groups of men singing and dancing in front of flames. We have people making jokes. You know, it definitely, there's some difficult moments for sure, but there's also very cute moments between a father and son. So it's not just dour, like, knock you on the head with a bat the whole time. I mean, there are just you know, fun, light moments that are sprinkled throughout it.
Okay. Generally, outside of New York, have you heard about reception? I mean, it just recently opened in Detroit. And what kind of feedback are you getting from around the country?
Yeah, it's opening in 103 theaters today, which is Friday. So are you going to edit this conversation at all?
No, we're doing it. This is Sunday, so today is Sunday.
Okay, cool. So whatever, yeah, so this Sunday it's in 103 theaters throughout America. Yeah, it's doing incredible. Look, we made a film that I thought would find... I mean, I knew it was important to me as an artist to make this movie. I knew it had things to say that we hadn't seen before, but to think that it's going to be opening all throughout the country, and over Labor Day it will be in 130 theaters. It's going to be in theaters in Canada and in UK and France. I mean, this is an international phenomenon that people really enjoy and want to understand and want to share.
Uh-huh. So in France it'll have French subtitles?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Cool. Okay. So, the way I took it and the takeaway that I got is that here was a person that was very needy. He was basically all by himself in the world. And what he really needed was support. And here he was put into an environment where the community that really didn't need to came out and did show its support. It was like the scene with the, a very impressive scene was the memorial meal. And the food is not exactly, I'm not going to give it away, no spoiler alerts over here. The food is not exactly, he makes the food himself. He's not a cook. And the rabbi, who is like this revered, respected person, says that this food is Eilal Shulchan Malachim. This food is fit for a king. And you see the expression. I love the expression of this actor as he is swallowing this food that tastes not very good. And just shows, I'm doing this because we love this person and we really want him to be successful, which is why he's making this whole thing to begin with. That was my takeaway, Joshua.
Weinstein. Yeah, then he got my takeaway too. Wonderful. First of all, I love the room. He actually is a cab driver in Brooklyn, for a chassid cab driver who has smicha. You know, he has rabbinical training, but never got to be a rabbi.
I want to tell you a little something. It's what my
him
when we were looking at the credits. My wife said, "Yeah, he spent a Shabbos in our house about 25 years ago." In Detroit.
No.
Yeah. So my wife said, I knew he looked familiar. Yeah. He's like friends with my brother who lives right now in Albania. So.
Oh my God.
Listen, this is Jews. There's no six degrees of separation. It's only like two or three at the best, you know. So yeah. So what you're saying about the person who played the rabbi. Go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt you.
Yeah. Mayor Schwartz. It was just amazing because, like, he's been waiting his whole life for this chance to be a rabbi, and finally he got it. And whenever we gave him a chance in the film to say a sermon, even though we'd write something small, he would just go off the rails with it. And we always have to stop him, like, 2 minutes in, being like, Mayor, you have 30 seconds for the sermon. That's all you get in the movie.
I start many of my sermons with, giving a rabbi a microphone is a dangerous proposition. So, yes, indeed. Go ahead.
But one scene that was hysterical, where we're filming in the graveyard, and Mayor's about to gives a sermon, and he just won't stop. And Menashe just cracks up. Because, you know, it's a very sad scene, but Menashe just can't hold it together because he's just like, who... Yeah, exactly. You let a guy be a rabbi, I know he's going to be it all right.
Yeah, it is indeed incredible. Well, I'd like to talk more about it, but this is as far as our segment can go. Our guest today has been Joshua Z. Weinstein, a filmmaker. Latest movie is Menashe. It's out in theaters now. Check your local listings for it. It is Yiddish, so there are subtitles. And I think it's a very good movie. It's very poignant. It is, like I say, not a fun movie. This is not Pixar, you know, Disney stuff we're talking about here. This is very poignant, very thought-provoking. And I give you tremendous kudos. And will there be like Son of Menashe when we look at, say, the son's perspective of this whole thing that's going on, maybe, or something like that, you know, Menashe 2.
Yeah, I was thinking of the horror version, actually. But everybody watch it. It's good for your kishkas, you know. Good for the soul, for sure.
Okay, wonderful. Thank you so much, Joshua, for coming on and sharing your insights with it. And take care.
Be well. Talk soon.
Okay, that was Joshua Weinstein, again, and the movie is Menashe. It's out in theaters. If you don't go to movies, don't go to this movie. But if you do go to movies, go to this movie. I mean, remember we had Manus Friedman on last year, who was involved with the making of a movie. It was a documentary. And I said, if I don't go to movies, should I go to this movie? He said, no, absolutely not. But if you're going to movies, go to movies. I can't say, oh, you have to go to a movie, because I'm not one person. I'm not a person who encourages people to go to movies per se, but I went. So anyway, we have up next for your listening pleasure. This is, that's because you could bring it up. This is Shimshon Kimmelmacher. I just love his name, Kimmelmacher. And this is a classic song remake, a redo of Bells, a little city in Poland, east of Grosse Pointe Farms.
Erzähl mir, Alter, erzähl geschwind, weil ich will wissen, als erzählt. Wie seht aus der Stiebele, wo so am Ungi glanzt? Zieh sie blit noch das Beimale, wo es hoch verpflanzt. Der Stiebele saug, verwachsen mit Moche groß. Der alte Dach sie fand das Fenster und ein Gloss. Der Ganek ist grün, sie beugen die Wand. Die wusste ich schön gut, mehr nicht der kennt. Der Ganek ist grün, sie beugen die Wand. Die wusste ich schön gut, mehr nicht der kennt. Ich red von Bells, mein steht alle Bells. Mein Heim, alle Docht, die hab meine kinderschen Jahren verbracht. Sind ihr gewähnt amul im Bels, mein steht alle Bels. Mein Heim, alle Docht, die hab meine kinderschen Jahren verbracht. Jeden Schabes leg ich laufen mit die kinderlich gleich. Ich sitze hinter dem grünen Bäum, alle kicken auf dem Teich. Bells, mein steht alle Bells. Mein Heim, alle Docht, wie hab meine kinderische Jürgen verbracht.
Shimshon Kimmelmacher, song Bells. Up next, this is the Pumpadisa Band. Pumpadisa was a city in Babylon, one of the centers of the great Talmudic academies. And it's a Sephardi type-esque little type of, you know, Mediterranean beat type thing going on. This is Su Yadechem, which is lift up your hands. and see to a show.
Why go to a hospital to get healthy? At Encompass Healthcare, you get the state-of-the-art wound care like in a hospital. The same medicines, the same everything without being in a hospital. Why put yourself at risk of getting a hospital-borne infection? Did you know that last year, 1 in 6 people died in America because of infections they got in hospitals? Encompass Healthcare is an outpatient facility. That means you get your wound care treatment and then go home. There are no wait times at Encompass Healthcare like in ERs. Healthcare is personal and works better, faster, and easier. Encompass Healthcare provides a state-of-the-art outpatient facility close to where you live. Call 248-624-9800. That's 624-9800. Auto accident, workman's comp, and most insurance is accepted. Encompass Healthcare's goal is to get you healthy with as little disturbance to your daily activities. Call 248-624-9800.
Shul Finman here. You are listening to the Jewish Hour. This week is the portion of Ki Teitzei. It is to be found in the book of Deuteronomy in chapter 21 and following. It continues in Moses' review of the commandments, and there is no storyline, there's no stories to tell, but it is a list, a comprehensive list of, I think, over 70 commandments. I didn't look this year to see how many exactly are in it. It is quite a lot. It's always good to tie things together. And just as it was last week we did this, we'll do this this week, and maybe we'll do it next week and the week after as well. Connect the portion with its mitzvahs to the month that we're in right now. We are in the month of Elul. That's why we blew the shofar at the beginning of the show to remind people that Rosh Hashanah is coming within a month and we got to get ready. And we have to do various things in prep. There's no holidays. So you don't have to make any holidays this month, but you do have to get ready for the high holidays so that when it says you come before God, you don't come with empty pockets, as the expression goes. Or actually, in English, it would be empty-handed. One mitzvah, we could probably do this with all 70 commandments, but the show is only an hour and I only have so much time allotted to this segment. So we're just going to pick one. The commandment states, when you will see the donkey of your friend, the donkey of your enemy, falling under its load, you shall surely help him. What's the deal? This is a person that you don't like and maybe doesn't like you. But what's the donkey got to do with it? Here you have an animal in distress. And, just as a matter of time, we're talking about animal cruelty at 145 today in the part of a panel about animal cruelty in the Hazon Food Festival down here at Eastern Market, where it shed five, booth number 37, come on by. In 2 hours, my wife will be doing a whole egg presentation. And at 1:45, I'm going to be speaking with another gentleman about animal cruelty and ensuring humaneness in your food consumption, which is a very, very important thing. So here, you don't like the guy doesn't like you, and you got this donkey. What's the donkey's fault? Okay, so the guy was a yold. He didn't load the donkey properly. Donkeys can hold a lot of stuff. It's really amazing. A loaded donkey, hundreds of pounds on this little tiny animal. They could do it. It's no problem. They just do it. They just creep along. They go. But this person put the stuff on wrong. It's not balanced properly, and the donkey is suffering. Just because you don't like the guy, the animal should suffer. Nope. You have to go help the guy. There's a caveat. It says, with him. He can't say, listen, you have a mitzvah. God commanded you to load the donkey. It's my donkey. I don't have any command. You do it. You get the... No, it has to be with him. He has to be doing it, and you're going to help him. That's the commandment, to help him, not to do it. The Baal Shem Tov, in his classic inimitable style, interprets this word. The word donkey in Hebrew is chamor, donkey. You call somebody in Hebrew or Arabic, you call them a chamor. You might get hit. It's like one of the worst things you could call somebody in Hebrew and Arabic. It's related to the word chaymer, which means stuff. So here it is. We have two beings inside of ourselves. We have our inclination for good, and we have our inclination for the animal pursuit of pleasure, which tied into that is the animal desire to do things wrong. So on one hand, we are following a path of creature comfort, of pursuit of happiness through the acquisition of stuff. And sometimes it gets to be that the stuff is overwhelming. You just look around and I know people, my wife and I, Baruch Hashem, are not like this. They say, I haven't gone in my basement. The stuff that's in there from the last three times that I moved, I haven't unpacked the boxes. They're still in it. No, that's just stuff. That person's falling under the load. In that instance, you should definitely help them clean out their basement or have them call the National Association of Professional Organizers and have them clean out their basement. So you've got your stuff. You've got your baggage. And your animal really likes that baggage, but it's really overcoming. So it says, Azav Tazav Imo. It doesn't say help him get rid of the baggage. It says help him load it back on again properly. Here's the buzzword, in balance. In Judaism, we don't live a life as aesthetics. We don't say stuff is bad. We say stuff can be good. Your godly soul, which is in the pursuit of godliness, has to step in and say, we are going to do this stuff for God. I'm going to eat. I've said this 1,000 times in the last 20 years. I'm going to eat in order to be able to have the strength to go do something good. So then eating is a good thing. If I didn't eat, I wouldn't be able to do it. And fill in the blanks. That ties in directly with what we're supposed to be doing in this month of preparation. Because throughout the whole year, the past 11 months plus at this point, we have accumulated lots of stuff physically, mentally, emotionally, psychologically, spiritually, whatever it is, we've acquired lots of stuff. Some of that stuff really needs to get jettisoned, to just get rid of it. Some of that stuff, though, is really very good and important. And so we say, go help yourself. Load your donkey, load your stuff in such a way so that you're positioning yourself to serve the Almighty. We have to take a quick commercial break, and we'll be right back. You're listening to The Jewish Hour.
Hi, this is Specs Howard. The Specs Howard School of Media Arts is proud to have been a sponsor of The Jewish Hour and bring quality radio programming to the community. While much of the funding comes from its sponsors, listeners like you help keep The Jewish Hour on the air. Please send your tax-deductible donation to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. That's 1725 Pinecrest Drive, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. Your help is greatly appreciated. Thank you very much.
Herschel Finman here. You are listening to The Jewish Hour. Want to get in touch with me? Go to rabbifinman.com. You want to get in touch with me? Come down to Eastern Market right now. Parking, okay, it's not near Shed 5. You're going to have to park. You're going to have to park. At this point, you're going to have to park 2 blocks away. But the event is free. We're at Shed 5, booth number 37. We have a raffle going on for wonderful prizes, which are sponsored by Hazano and Natural Food Patch and Western Market, helping them boost Ferndale and the Ferndale economy because we're with Jewish Ferndale. You want to do that. So that's the best way to get in touch with me. And we'll be here till 4, and I'm speaking at 1:45 about animal cruelty in the tent. You missed Joan Nathan. She was just wrapping up right now. But there's two other cooking demonstrations, and you get to eat the food that they make. That's really flipping cool. Whoa. Anyway, so come on down. The rabbifinman.com, you'll find all the things that I talk about every week and the donations page. I'm hurrying up because I really want to tell this story. I'm chomping at the bit to tell this story. So we paid for June. We now have July and August. This is the last week of August. So next week, we're close. We're really close to paying off July. And we just need a couple more people like you just to go in, do what you do. We've gotten in this last week. We've got a whole bunch of people that are doing $10 a month. So that's something that you can handle, $10 a month. It's cheaper than going to a movie, really, because you're doing it 4 times a month instead of just once. So go to Rabbi Finman. Don't like doing internet giving? Fine. Drop your donation, any amount, to The Jewish Hour, 1725 Pinecrest, Ferndale, Michigan, 48220. And also put into your calendar that September 17th, it's the grand opening of Jewish Ferndale. The building is done. All things have been approved. We're getting things together. It's going to be a wild time. We'll stick around for details for more of that. But it's 3 to 5, September 17th. Come on down. It's open to the entire world. And we're expecting 7.5 billion people to come. We made that many cookies. So now, this story involves the Baal Shem Tov. Man came to the Baal Shem Tov, and he got a private audience. And he said, Rabbi, things, thank God for me, are good, and I really don't need anything from you, but I just came to because I heard so much about you. And the Baal Shem Tov looked at him and said, let me tell you a story. Many years ago, there were two friends. One grew up to be very wealthy. The other one also grew up to be very wealthy. The first one lost all of his money. So he went to his old friend and told him what had happened. And the second friend called in the accountant immediately and said, I want you to divide up my entire estate. Half goes to my friend and half I will keep. And he set the guy back up in business, and things went phenomenally well for him. The second friend, unfortunately, after that time, his business bellied up, and his business failed. He was left penniless. So he went back to his first friend, who had never paid him back, and knocked on the door, and the servant opened up and he said, I need to talk to your master. I have to talk about a business matter. So he came back and said, my master isn't seeing anybody and he's not giving people any money. Go away. The guy said, what? He was totally dejected. And because he was in the condition that he was, shortly thereafter, he passed away. When the second friend passed away, or the first friend passed away, who is now rich, passed away, they came together before the heavenly tribunal. And it was shown, listen, you didn't pay back kindness with kindness. This is a terrible thing. You're not going to heaven. The second friend, who was poor, said, if he's not going to heaven, I'm not going to heaven. I am not going to be allowed into the paradise unless my friend is with me. I forgive him totally. He had his reasoning. So this created a whole tumult up in heaven. How the Baal Shem Tov knew this, I don't know. So it was decided that they should come down again. Friend number two, who was rich, is going to come back rich. And friend number one, who became poor, is now going to be poor again. And he's going to have to feed him. So what happened? Friend number one came, knocked on the guy's door. And friend number two said, I'm not giving you anything. I don't care who you are. The guy was pleading with him, I'm so hungry, I have anything to eat. And he said, friend number two slammed the door. This friend number one was so hungry in the second incarnation, he died right on the man's steps. The person standing in front of the Baal Shem Tov was in tears because this had happened to him. He callously closed the door on a beggar, not giving him anything to eat. And he said, Rebbe, what can I do? And he said, you really blew an opportunity to correct things, but what you can do is give half of your wealth to this man's family and be more thoughtful. This is where Elul comes in. Be more thoughtful of what you're doing in the future. That's going to do it for us. Thank you for tuning in. We hope we had a chance to entertain you a bit. We hope we had a chance to educate you a bit. We hope to see you down here at Shed Number 5 at the Eastern Market today. We hope to have you next week. Take care.